I'm so pleased that we have this restless spirit with us. He is incredibly curious, and he is the founder of a race that takes place in South Africa. It's called Race the Wild Coast, but he's also the winner of the Mongol Derby, the world's toughest endurance horse race. Now, in the 20th century, Genghis Khan ruled over the Mongol Empire, created the largest empire in history. And the Mongol Derby literally recreates the Mongol legendary horseback messenger system that was pioneered by Genghis Khan. And it is the longest and toughest horse race in the world. 1,000 kilometers, over 1,000 kilometers, 23 riders get to participate. It is very, it's a hostile terrain, in the steppes of Mongolia. So joining us, of course, is Barry Armitage, the winner of the Mongol Derby, horseback adventurer. He's a former sailor, just an all-round adventurer, historian as well, to talk about the grueling journey that he took as part of the Mongol Derby. Good afternoon, Barry.
Hi, Azania. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you, because you are taking us to a part of the world that we probably never or hardly ever think about.
No, it's the middle of nowhere. It really is the middle of nowhere. It takes 32 odd hours of flying and 3 flights to get there from South Africa.
Yeah. Now, I gave a brief description of what it is, but give us the background, because South Africans have been dominating this particular derby over the years. But what is the history, and why did you decide to participate?
Well, it started in 2009. It's organized by a UK-based company. Mm. It is rather spectacular in its vision and scope. There were 43 riders this year, riding 27 horses each. So that's 1,300 horses that they have to get together. And they go out onto the steppe and organize these horses with the local, with the herders, the nomadic people that inhabit the steppe. And it's them that organize the horses for each stage, and they get paid to supply food and shelter to the riders, as well as supply horses.
So between or overnight, you get to enjoy the humble hospitality of the community.
Well, yes, but you... If you're not staying at a horse station, which is organized by the race organizers, you can just, at 8:30, look for a nomad's homestead, pull up, and in your best English, ask them if you can stay the night. But none of them speak English, so it ends up being a bit of a pantomime. But they are so hospitable and just take you into their very humble homes, put you up for the night, look after your horse. Mm. And it's a wonderful, wonderful cultural experience.
Yes, and horses are really revered, because Mongolia is a land where horses symbolize national strength. Riders have been known to say that horses are their friends. They're treated with incredible respect, and children as young as 5 start to learn how to ride and participate in some of the races. So the culture is very, very entrenched.
Absolutely. Horses have a spiritual role in people's lives in Mongolia, and the state identity is wrapped up in the horse, and it goes back to the fact that Genghis Khan conquered the largest empire in the world off the back of these horses. Mm. So national pride very much wrapped up in the Mongol horse, yes.
Mm. So it's one of the toughest enduring races. So you're out there for 9 days covering this 1,020 kilometers in this very rugged, remote area in Mongolia. It must take a lot of endurance.
Yeah, you've got 13 and a half hours that you can ride a day, from 7 in the morning till 8:30 in the evening. Mm. And in order to win, you've got to ride as much of those 13 and a half hours as you possibly can. We finished in 7 days. So
wow.
It's about 160 kilometers a day that we were doing.
Yes, but it comes with risks as well. I was saying earlier that Al Jazeera did a documentary entitled Mongolia, training with a child jockey. And in it, they talk about how treacherous the terrain often is, because some of the riders place incredible risk to their own lives. There was one particular child who actually lost their life because the conditions were not necessarily ideal. The grass was at a particular height. So there are all these risks in the environment.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for the Mongolian races, but the local races. But in terms of the Mongol Derby, a lot of people get injured every year. This year, it was pretty light on serious injuries. But there's this animal called a marmot, and they dig quite big holes. They live under the ground. And there are also these little gerbil-like creatures that inhabit the steppe in their millions. So they're often holes that the horses can stumble over. Mm. And falling is a very real possibility. I, fortunately, did not fall once this ride.
Yeah.
But I rode in 2011 and 2012, and I came off regularly those 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yes, great risks. People have broken bones, all sorts of bones, collarbones, there have been fingers, pelvises, lots of ribs. So, yeah, very dangerous.
Yes, yes. And the route you follow, is it a set out route? What are you relying on?
You are relying on a GPS. You have a track that is loaded onto your GPS.
Yeah.
And you're following that, basically, staring at this little screen, and there's a magenta line on the screen, and you religiously follow this magenta line, which at times isn't that easy. When you're on a fresh horse at the beginning of the stage, these things are going like the clappers. They're very perky at the beginning of a stage, and you're holding on for dear life.
Yes, and these are semi wild horses, right?
Yeah, they live out on the steppe all year round. And there's snow cover for about 7 to 8 months a year. Mm. And they have to exist in that environment. And there's still wolves that roam the steppe and attack them. So the herders keep them in this semi-wild state so that they can survive the rigors of this landscape.
Yes. Wow. What breed is it? Because the horses, they are smaller than horses from other parts of the world.
That's right. These are the original horses. This is where they came from, and they spread from Mongolia into the rest of the world and have evolved over time. But the Mongolian horses have stayed as they were 7,000 years ago, and the government actually protects the horse. They don't allow other breeds to be brought in and bred with the local horses.
Wow, wow. But you, Barry, you lived your life, came back to South Africa after wandering and going all over the world, having these fantastic adventures. You're a professional sailor, and you seem to have this restlessness, this curiosity, and you just dare to try different things out.
Yeah, you know, I think working on boats, you go from one place to the next, you see different cultures. It was 11 years I was on boats, and it's a wonderful thing, but it gets into your bones, and you can't really stop moving, I think. It's a double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that's come with the ability, or you've honed your survival skills, no matter the context.
Yes, quite right.
Yeah.
Nailed it, yeah.
Right. So you did a documentary called The Race, where you share your was it the first race that you did, the Mongol race?
Yes, that was The Ride. It was a television series that was first aired on SABC3 in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Dawson and myself, Joe's my riding partner, we took part in the race in 2011, and we shot a six-part documentary with Cooked in Africa Films, Justin Bonello. He's the man behind Briarmaster. We were all wired up to film, and we had a seven-man crew, and we made this reality TV series.
Yeah, because it tells us your what it's beautifully shot, by the way, and we're able to see what you experience in this endurance race. So is that where the inspiration came from for the race in South Africa at the Wild Coast?
It did. I had the idea for a race on the Wild Coast in 2009, and of course hit Google to see if there was anything else out there, and I found the Mongol Derby, and since then it's become an obsession.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of racing and the Mongol Derby as well.
And you've got another one coming up in October, right?
The next race is in October 2018. Mm-hmm. That's right, yes.
Wow. So what kind of people then, who participates?
There's a bit of a broad selection. They're endurance riders, so people who take part in formal endurance races, which happen all over South Africa every weekend and all around the world. And then there's the adventurer type, people looking for an experience, a cultural experience where they can test their own endurance and survival skills, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Barry, the relationship between the rider and the horse, because this means that there has to be, this is a partnership, right through, it's a partnership.
Correct, that's right. As I said before, you're riding 27 horses, and the best relationship with the horse is the shortest one, because that means you've traveled fast and efficiently between stations. But more seriously, you pick that horse off a lineup of maybe 20 or 30 horses, and you've got to pick that horse for its physique, and for that, maybe it's got a bit of a glint in its eye and you recognize that he might be a bit of a goer. You get on that horse and you're off, and you've got to figure out what you've got underneath you quite quickly and come up with a plan on how to ride the next 35 to 40 kilometers. And that's where horsemanship comes in. You might have a bit of a wild one and you've got to calm it down.
Mm.
You might have a bit of a slow one and you've got to keep him going and make sure that he stays fit and healthy for that 35 Ks.
Mm, mm. And the whole, take us through some of the rules, because this kind of thing, it's important that the well-being of the actual animal be considered as well, that it's not just about for your thrill or for your enjoyment.
Yeah, quite right. So there's a team of international vets. I think there are about six of them all together, and they leapfrog down the route, and you've got to bring your horse in to the vet check, and at that point the clock starts running. You've got half an hour to get your horse's heart rate down to 56 beats per minute.
Mm.
This 56 beats per minute is an indicator of overall horse health.
Mm.
If that horse's heart rate can come down from its operating heart rate of, it's around 100, 115, if it can come down to 56 beats within half an hour, that horse is most of the time healthy.
Okay.
Yeah. So you've got, as a rider, you've got to make sure that that horse is drinking along the way, that you have assessed his athletic ability, I think, to put it in simple terms, and you're riding that horse within its physical ability.
And if you don't, there are penalties.
Yes. If you fail the heart rate the test, you get a 2-hour penalty.
Mm.
You basically, that's it. 2 hours, you sit and wait out your penalty.
Yes. Right. I think just hearing you can deposit this this desire, you know, to experience this kind of thing, because for many of us, we sit in our cars, we drive in urban centers, and yet this was one of the most important modes of transport for people all over the world in still today, but mostly back in time.
Yeah, the age of the horse lasted for 7,000 years, and the age of the car is, what are we, just over a century. So, you know, this whole car thing is a very recent thing in human development. And we as humans owe our development to the horse, because for so long they were the sports cars, the racing cars, the trucks, you name it. There was a horse to fulfill every need in society.
Absolutely. Barry, it's been fantastic talking to you. Thank you so much and congratulations.
Thank you very much, Izanya.
That is horse racer Barry Armitage. He's an adventurer, a historian, a horseman, a sailor, all round, and he's the winner of the Mongol Derby.